WHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel launched strikes on a major U.S. ally today. It was targeting Hamas leadership. White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt says the administration learned of the strikes on Qatar through the U.S. military.
President Trump immediately directed Special Envoy Witkoff to inform the Qataris of the impending attack, which he did. The president views Qatar as a strong ally.
Qatar is a mediator in the Gaza ceasefire talks, and Rami Innocencio reports that further complicates things after the strike.
What becomes of this ceasefire and hostage negotiation from here on out?
Revised job numbers weren't so good, but Kelly O'Grady reports Wall Street might find a silver lining.
This introduces even more of a reason that some investors are saying, hey, we don't need just a quarter point rate cut. We need a half point rate cut.
And on Wall Street, stocks finished higher. The Dow was up nearly 200 points. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammy McCormick.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin Democrats have introduced a package of bills they say would benefit workers. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Most notably, if passed, their plan would repeal Act 10, the controversial law championed by then-Governor Scott Walker curbed collective bargaining rights for public sector employees. State Senator Mark Spreitzer.
This proposal will restore workplace fairness and ensure that those who benefit from union representation are contributing their fair share, so that we can build strong unions that can make sure we have good wages and working conditions for everyone.
The bills would also strengthen laws against misclassification. That's basically where employers can call their employees independent contractors when they're really not. Democratic lawmakers say that can have a wide range of impacts. Businesses can avoid paying payroll taxes and unemployment, and they don't have to provide health and safety benefits. Larry Statz owns his contracting business. He says companies that misclassify their employees are saving so much money, they're able to undercut businesses who are following the law, like his.
More and more competitors have adopted the illegal business model of misclassification, where they mislabel their actual workers as independent contractors. They avoid paying taxes, Social Security, workman's comp, and unemployment benefits, a responsibility that honest employers like us take on every day.
This package of bills would also reinstate prevailing wage laws. Republicans repealed Wisconsin's in 2015. All 60 Democrats in the state assembly and state senate have signed on to these bills. However, because they don't have the majority, they're unlikely to go anywhere without Republican support. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay. You're listening to WFHR and WIRI News.
The Badgers head for Bama. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers have a road game Saturday against number 19th ranked Alabama, kickoff 11 a.m. So how do the players feel about taking on the Crimson Tide? Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
There's nothing more that you want to do as a competitor than be in the biggest games and the biggest competition out there. And to go to Alabama to play in front of that crowd, to go down there to play, you know, in the SEC country, I think that there's not a guy within our program that isn't say that's one of the reasons why they're here.
NFL, a short week for the Packers. They host the Commanders Thursday night. Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed dealing with a stress fracture in his left foot. I asked how he was doing after Sunday's game against the Lions.
It feels great to win. I'm definitely hurting a little bit, but, you know, thank God we got some time to recover. Put my foot in some ice and I'll feel better.
Baseball, the Brewers and the Rangers tonight in Texas. Milwaukee losing last night 5-0. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Our stretch of warmer temperatures will continue through the rest of the week. Mostly cloudy tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms. A low in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, sunshine returns, a high in the mid-70s. Upper 70s Thursday. Currently at 75 degrees.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. is where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin travels to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Green Bay's own Frank Hermans. Just a bit outside, director Sean Hannish joins with big news and the Green Bay Film Festival's Nick Watier. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
They're not there to serve you and me and the family farmer. They're there beholden to billionaires and their corporate overlords.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
See our nation fraying and fracturing.
This is not normal. This is not the country that I grew up in.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Correct. We know better. We know better.
Clip that.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Happy Tuesday afternoon, one and all. We've got some breaking news, and then we'll get into what is a jam-packed Tuesday afternoon show for each and every one of you. Israel has struck Hamas leadership and Qatar, which had been mediating a ceasefire in Gaza. Israel launched a strike in Doha, Qatar, targeting Hamas's senior leadership in a major escalation of its regional conflict. Explosions were reported overnight near residential areas and foreign embassies where Hamas leaders had been meeting to discuss President Trump's peace proposal. Israeli President Isaac Herzog later hinted in an X post that Hamas political leader Khalil al-Haya was among the intended targets. So I guess so much for Donald Trump solving that war in a day or two. In other national news, the U.S. has created 911,000 fewer jobs than previously thought in the 12 months ending in March. The Bureau of Labor Statistics sharply revised U.S. job growth downward, again reporting 911,000 fewer jobs created between April 2024 and March 2025, about 76,000 fewer per month. The revision highlights a weakening labor market with only 29,000 jobs added on average over the past 3 months. Again, bad job reports from last week showing that the U.S. economy has basically ground to a halt under Donald Trump's leadership. So we'll see how he continues to lie and spin that one. Trump has now today called the Epstein birthday note a, quote, dead issue. Maybe he wishes it were dead, but I don't think it's dead. In fact, I don't think it's going anywhere. He declined to discuss the letter to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein that House Democrats released yesterday, calling it a dead issue. Quote, I don't comment on something that's a dead issue. I gave all comments to the staff. Maybe, Mr. President, less comments to the staff and more comments to the American public about something that has remained front and center for many Americans as an exemplar of, yes, a two-tiered justice system. One tier for Donald Trump and cronies like him in the billionaire class, and a tier of justice for everybody else. I've talked about that frequently on this program. That's a real thing. Democrats on the House Oversight Committee posted the image to X, again, of this lewd note. I discussed it at length yesterday on this program. If you missed that, don't worry. All of our shows are podcasted wherever you like to get your podcasts, and of course at civicmedia.us. Senate Majority Leader John Thune today said, quote, "I don't have an observation about that. I think there's a dispute about whether that's really a signature. So, I mean, I think right now it's just going to be that's going to be argued back and forth." That's Donald Trump's signature. There's really not a reasonable dispute about that. It's a bound book that was put together decades ago. Kind of hard to fake that. So I'm not really sure where all of this denial from Donald Trump is leading him. Remember, he sued Rupert Murdoch and the Wall Street Journal for some $10 billion, yes, billion dollars. But that's never actually going to see full discovery, is it? Because that would mean Donald Trump would have to swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help him God, and sit for a deposition. The subject of which would clearly include, what enigma was Donald Trump referring to in this letter? What secrets his pal Epstein was hiding? What are they hiding? What's this it that they're talking about, this birthday note? That is, you know, the thing that makes life worth living after you already have it all. Inquiring minds want to know, Mr. President. And I have to talk about two additional things, and I want to bring in my guest, former U.S. Attorney James Santel. Jim, welcome back to the program. I want to talk about two elements of this which are truly bizarre. The first is an additional revelation that came out yesterday. This is a photograph of Jeffrey Epstein, some dude that I don't know, and likely a young woman because her face is blacked out in this photograph. They are holding a large sort of prop-sized check. It is a check from allegedly Donald Trump to Mr. Epstein for some $22,500. Now, this photograph was on a page that included some handwritten notes in this same birthday book that was created for Jeffrey Epstein's 50th birthday. And here's what the note that accompanies this picture of a big prop-sized large check, you know, typically for lottery winners, that kind of size check, that is apparently from Donald Trump to Jeffrey Epstein for $22,500. The note is from some unidentified guy in the book. Maybe it's the dude in the picture, who knows. But it says this: Jeffrey showing early talents with money and women, exclamation point, sells, quote, fully depreciated, and there is a woman's name there, and it's blacked out, to Donald Trump for $22,500. Sells fully depreciated woman to Donald Trump for $22,500. The handwritten writing goes on. Showed early, quote, people skills, even though I handled the deal, I didn't get any of the money on the girl. I'm going to read the note again because what? This is from some unidentified man, a note including this check that was written by Donald Trump to Jeffrey Epstein for $22,500. And here's what the unidentified man wrote to Jeffrey Epstein in his birthday book about the check. Jeffrey showing early talents with money and women. Sells fully depreciated woman to Donald Trump for $22,500. Showed early people skills. Even though I handled the deal, I didn't get any of the money on the girl. So it's funny that Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein are apparently selling women. So there was that additional bit that came out yesterday. Again, I wonder what secret thing that Epstein and Trump were talking about in Trump's love letter to Jeffrey Epstein. So there's that I wanted to point out, and then I want to get your impressions, and I want to take two small bits of sound, because this points out the straws that are being grasped at. The inanity of the excuse-making, the stupidity of the denialism from Donald Trump. We all know he's buddies with this guy, maybe even best friends. And then House of Representatives Speaker Mike Johnson suggested that Donald Trump was an FBI informant. late last week? Let's take a listen.
It comes across as calling the whole thing a hoax.
It's been misrepresented. He's not saying that what Epstein did is a hoax. It's a terrible, unspeakable evil. He believes that himself. When he first heard the rumor, he kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago. He was an FBI informant to try to take this stuff down. The president knows and has great sympathy.
I'm sorry, what? Just slides it. He kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago. He was an FBI informant. So that was Speaker Johnson late last week. And then, oops, Speaker Johnson early this week. Take a listen to the retraction.
I don't know if I used the right word. I said FBI informant. I'm not sure. I wasn't there. This is in my lane. I'm just repeating what is common knowledge and has been out in the public for a long time. President Trump was never a hindrance to the Epstein investigation. He was trying to assist in that. He is disgusted.
Oh, so it went from informant to never a hindrance to helping. But Mike, dear Mike, if you're listening, what would be really helpful for the American public is if Donald Trump just released the files, damn it. With all of that as lengthy prequel, it is head-scratching in the extreme. Welcome back to the show. You, former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, host of Amicus, a law review, Saturdays from 9 to 11 across this fine network, Jim Santel. Jim, what do you make of this? It is bizarre.
It is bizarre. It is a lot. And I will tell you, this piece that you described centrally just a moment or so ago, this document written plainly, there's a verb tense there, plainly about selling women. I think about the human trafficking cases that I used to do and others in my office used to do.
Yes.
That's the kind of thing with tracking it down, finding out who the author is, actually identifying, maybe not for public disclosure, who the woman was. That's the kind of thing that establishes the nature of the criminal activity in which you may be involved, which is quite literally, as you said, Maggie, selling women. And there's a transaction there. Something is going on there, right? And somebody knows about that. It is stunning. That's the sublime and horrifying. And then we have the ridiculous at the other end, which is what our government is now doing, and including Mike Johnson retracting all this about who's there. And the other fascinating thing is Donald Trump now has members of the White House staff, and yes, prompting the New York Times now to figure out whether or not the D on Donald and the long tail is in fact actually his signature or not. We're going back and looking at prior things he's written. That's what our government is doing now in the White House. And again, compelling the journalists to look at this. That's what this has all caused in America. It is stunning. It is shocking. And again, somebody's got to tell Donald Trump that as bad as this might be, you need to bring this to an end by, as you said, disclosing the materials. Get it out there. I often ask this, and again, it is a reflection of how little I think of my president. Whatever is in there, will it make me think less of him? Less of him? Could I think less of him? No, I could not. And so, yes, indeed, there may be some confirmation of actually some criminal activity, but we know all about this. We know the Access Hollywood tape comment. Could it be any more obscene, misogynistic, sexist, just outrageously wild than this? What more can we hear about this man that would shock us anymore? Again, the statute of limitations has run all this plainly. Get it out there. Get it done. And if you can, Mr. President, he won't do any of this, of course, but move on to other things. Maybe talk about, I don't know, education and agriculture and commerce and things that are important to the American people. And yet, there we are. There we are.
Well, and I think this remains important to the American people, and at least in my mind, rightfully so, because it is a perfect encapsulation of how the well-heeled and well-connected get away with the most heinous of crimes. Mm-hmm. And there's no debate that Donald Trump is both well-heeled and well-connected. And all of this is mounting documentary evidence that regular people can take a look at and understand that this was the worst kept secret amongst Epstein's close circle, which Donald Trump was definitively, indisputably part of. Now, yesterday we talked about the love letter, the birthday note, the fact that it referenced Enigma. Today, doing a little digging, found out that Enigma is an anagram for gamine, a French word for young girl. Interesting and revolting. Jim is sticking around with me for this entire hour. We're going to talk about how the Supreme Court just gave a bear hug to racial profiling. It's not good in college admissions, but it's damn fine for liberty deprivations. We discuss all of this and more next. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road.
Drive drunk.
Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
This one goes out to the elder millennials. We're not as flashy as those other millennials and not as grungy as Gen X, but our music deserves another listen. Burn Before Listening features hits, we can't read a poker face. Deep cuts, the way it goes when you're a part of it. And some authentic cringe. This is how you remind. From 2000 to 2009, Burn Before Listening on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, Sundays at 9 p.m.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to join the conversation with Jim Santel, my special guest for this hour, former U.S. attorney here in the Eastern District of Wisconsin. Please do so. All are welcome. All viewpoints welcome. But expect lively debate as well, friends. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We've been talking about the drip from the Epstein files, the fact that it is perfectly within Donald Trump's powers to release the whole lock, stock, and two smoking barrels. You redact victims' names, you redact victims' faces, but those whose actions may be criminal, even if the statute of limitations has run, you leave those names in, folks, and you let the public sort it out. He refuses to do that. And what we've seen, especially in these last 2 days, is much from this birthday book. And suffice it to say, as between Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein, it is clear that they had long, ongoing friendship that was in part based on their mutual affinity, Donald Trump's words here, for very young girls. Yeah, Jeff likes very young girls. I do too. Something along those lines. He said in media interviews from that time. And the jokes, this birthday book is just chock full of bawdy, inappropriate, dehumanizing, objectifying jokes. And I'm just not talking about sort of the jokes that you may have told that are a little off color or that maybe you chuckled at some point in your life. This is debased humor.
It is. It is.
And it is essential to recall, Jim, as you and I were talking in the break, that the butt of all of these jokes are working class women, the daughters, similar to those of folks that you may know, the daughters of people that have bosses that may be billionaires or 100 millionaires, the daughters of people that earned paychecks that weren't born with trust funds. Young women and girls. That was the butt of the joke, of the 20, 30-year running joke for Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, and Donald Trump apparently as well. That's who has been victimized and now has been a survivor of these criminal acts. But even aside from the criminality, remember who they're making fun of who they are dehumanizing. It's the people that aren't in their class, right? Hillary Clinton might have used the word deplorable, but I would offer to you that Donald Trump, Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and the lot of them consider me and you and our daughters and sons to be the dispensables.
Your property.
The folks that can be just done away with and nobody really cares. Yeah, we're chattel.
Right. And once again, as I listen not only to your reporting, Maggie, but think back on these amazing accounts provided by these young women now, 14, 16, 18 years old on the steps of the Capitol. What do they also describe that, again, harkens back to, again, this is human trafficking. This is sex trafficking. But for the passage of the statute, this is criminal conduct. What are they saying? They're saying, I was enticed. I was told to come here and talk to Ghislaine Maxwell, other people, to get a job. I thought I would be advancing. And the next thing you know, Ghislaine's got her arm around me. And the next thing you know, I am, again, very vulnerable. I am young. I am unsophisticated. And I am victimized. That is classic, classic human trafficking, sex trafficking. Everybody who's in charge of those kinds of operations does exactly what you just said, Maggie, which is treats human beings as chattel, as people who simply to be bought and sold. That's what my president was involved in. That's what my president was involved in, unmistakably.
And the word I was searching for was not dispensable, but the disposables. I mean, dispensable is a good analogy as well. But again, you worry about somebody calling some folks deplorable. I worry about someone and their actions demonstrating that they think the vast majority of Americans are completely disposable. Chattel, just those that buy and work to create their wealth and can be used in any way and then disposed of. Clearly, the attitude of the folks that wrote these letters in this birthday book, clearly the attitude of Donald Trump and others.
I think one of the most compelling videos or images of recent weeks also comes from who? Nancy Mace, leaving that hearing, right? She was despondent. She could barely speak. She could not talk to reporters. Why? Because the human being in her listened to these horrific tales from these young women, credible, plainly credible, believable. And she was not just taken aback. That's understating it dramatically. She was
rendered nearly speechless.
She was rendered speechless. She was plainly hugely emotional. I think anyone, males, females, should be when you hear this. I got to tell you once again, when it comes to prosecutions, the two that send people back on their heels, child pornography and human trafficking. Those are the ones that take people aback. Not that other crimes are insignificant. Nancy Mace saw something, heard something there that she, again, representing, if you will, in that moment, Americans and recoiling in abject horror.
Charles from Milwaukee, say hello to Jim. What do you have to say this afternoon, sir?
Hey, Charles.
Hello, Maggie and Jim. He can't release it because he's in it. He knows he's in it. He's all over it. And there are too many really, I think, powerful people that's also involved in this. I wouldn't be shocked if the owner of the Patriots, who had got himself in a little
Robert Kraft.
Trouble.
Robert Kraft.
Yes. It's also involved. I believe
Sorry to jump in there, Charles. We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to move on to the racial profiling recently endorsed by the Supreme Court. Again, considering race as one of numerous factors for college admissions, no good. But arresting people based on race? Well, that's just fine. We'll come back after these brief messages here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A federal judge has ruled that Wisconsin must give back pay to disabled workers who were denied unemployment payments because they received disability payments through Social Security. The court order requires the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development to create a process for residents who were denied unemployment benefits between September of 2015 and this past July to receive the payments. The judge ruled the state law that was used to prevent those residents from collecting unemployment benefits intentionally discriminated against them. There are special opportunities this month to connect job seekers and employers. Joanne Krulotz has more.
September is National Workforce Development Month, and Wisconsin's Department of Workforce Development invites job seekers and employers to explore services offered by the Job Center of Wisconsin. On Wednesdays this month, you can access specialized services, including career navigators and business services professionals who can connect you to the right job or talent. Events will also include employment and training specialists who know what local job demands are. More information on Workforce Wednesdays can be found on the DWD website.
A federal judge has ruled that new Wisconsin regulations targeting vape devices can remain in place. The regulations ban the sale of any electronic vaping device that is not listed in the Wisconsin Department of Revenue's directory. A coalition of vape shops filed the lawsuit prior to when the regulations went into effect on September 1st. On Friday, a federal judge ruled against temporarily blocking the regulations, noting in his decision that the vape distributors had 19 months to challenge the 2023 law that made the new regulations possible. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for a documentary that will make your life look pretty boring, check out AKA Charlie Sheen, a new doc that drops on Netflix this week. The Inside Look is a two-parter that explores his three marriages, movie career where his credits include Platoon, Wall Street, and Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and the hit sitcom Two and a Half Men. The 60-year-old Sheen also talks about his various addictions, mental health breakdown in 2011, where he claims to have had tiger blood, and his firing from Two and a Half Men for drug use. And Sheen is well aware that anytime you self-promote with a new movie or book, you do need spicy new material. So the actor is now saying he has also had sex with lots of men, and it all started when he was smoking crack. I tip my hat to the producers who somehow managed to cram all that into just two parts. AKA Charlie Sheen drops September 10th on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Our stretch of warmer temperatures will continue through the rest of the week. Mostly cloudy tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms. A low in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, sunshine returns, a high in the mid-70s. Upper 70s Thursday. Right now it's 73.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Wisconsin has a new candidate for governor. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. He'll join the program at 3:35, and we'll kick around politics with Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Some breaking news this hour. The Supreme Court has announced that it will quickly weigh the legality of most of President Donald Trump's sweeping tariffs in a far-reaching case that could determine the fate of a cornerstone of the president's agenda and alter the course of the U.S. economy and global trade. Not too much at stake. This case is fascinating. I'm going to talk more about it tomorrow. And it is fascinating because the Supreme Court may very well actually save Donald Trump from himself. I think this case presents one of the strongest instances or strongest arguments that Donald Trump has exceeded his presidential authority. There was no economic emergency. And his invocation of certain laws seems clearly outside of bounds. So we'll talk more about that today. But one of my favorite callers and listeners, CJ from Stoughton, wanted to get in his 30 seconds on the Epstein files. To begin with, CJ, I just want to say this. Sure, they should release the grand jury transcripts. It's not going to be very revelatory. The real action is in the actual FBI files and the investigatory files. And the reason for that is the criminal indictment and grand jury transcripts are focused on the criminal prosecutions of that particular defendant. But I think those should be released along with the rest of it. I know you support releasing the files, I believe. Confirm that for us, CJ, and then whatever your other comment was. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I think some of it, the grand jury testimony can't be released, you know, so it's a red herring for the Democrats to squawk about it, but it legally cannot be done.
Democrats have, you know, just to be clear here, CJ, just to be clear here, it hasn't been the Democrats that have tried to get the grand jury transcripts released. It has been Donald Trump's Department of Justice trying to appease their base that wanted the documents. It wasn't Democrats. I'm just saying, sure, you can redact victim names, but that is not the point. The point is the other investigatory files. Please continue, sir.
Well, I love the fact you now care about sex trafficking, but the Biden do-nothing VP Border Czar Harris, 300,000 undocumented children's were.
Okay, got to jump in here because, again, the one of the rules is do not disinform. That 300,000 number has been debunked by every credible agency that has looked at that number. There is a number that is not 300,000. It is about young people who were in this country who were being basically monitored by our immigration and customs enforcement. Okay? They didn't keep track of exactly where these kids are. That doesn't mean that they're being trafficked, CJ. It means that ICE doesn't know where they are. That's not dissimilar to Donald Trump losing track of kids and their parents when he put families and kids in cages. So if we want to talk about moral wrongs and ambiguities, yeah, is it a good thing that we didn't know where these kids are? No, of course not. But you can't jump from they don't know where the kids are to they're being trafficked. They may be with their Aunt Gertrude for all ICE or you know.
Oh, that's funny. You just want to talk over me. You don't want to hear the fact. 300,000.
Okay, well, we're not going to, unless CJ, unless you can actually respond to, do you agree that the files should be released?
I don't really care. Okay?
And that, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, about sums up my rhetorical abilities with my one of my favorite callers, CJ. I appreciate it because it's an interesting, we got to be able to have these arguments. I appreciate that. But the idea that all of a sudden you don't care when so much of what Donald Trump has been selling to his base has been QAnon-supported conspiracy theories and Pizzagate and the human trafficking by Democrats and these elites, and I'm going to drain the swamp. Well, there is a swamp that needs to be drained, and it is the swamp, the moat that has been protecting Jeffrey Epstein. And if Donald Trump doesn't have anything to hide, since he ran on this issue, since his base was motivated by this issue, which was not true for President Biden, then why doesn't he release the files? That's the hypocrisy that we're trying to face and understand. And especially given the implications of the birthday book and the photographs and Donald Trump's recorded public statements about his close friend Jeffrey Epstein, it's not a dead issue and it ain't going anywhere. So if he's got nothing to hide, the only way to prove that to the American people is by releasing the files. Jim, your reactions to CJ's comments.
And that can be done tomorrow. Again,
tomorrow.
These are not grand jury materials. All that has to happen is for Pam Bondi, who's plainly looked at them. She's already obviously spoken with the president, as has Todd Blanche, the deputy attorney general, told him way back in the springtime that his name is there. Remember this?
Right.
We know it's there. We don't know what the dimension of that is. But the bottom line is, this is, you got it just right, Maggie. You know this well, as do I. These are not protected by Rule 6E. It is material. Much of it is probably electronic, but
yes,
you can reduce it to paper if you want to do that as well. It's probably tens of thousands of pages, the most great majority of which is probably also not especially interesting. But among that, you will find, obviously, people who have engaged with referencing the event or the item that you talked about earlier. Who are the transactional people who paid for young girls? Those names will be there. They will be there because that's a part of the investigative work called 302s or the FBI's reports.
Yep.
Those kinds of things can give you an awful lot of an idea about, number one, the extent to which these young women are truthfully describing things, and they were. And number two, who else is out there? And I think you hit it right on the head. And maybe Donald Trump's name is there, and others also, whose names we probably do know, and probably this is about protecting them from that disclosure. America should know this. He should get this out and be done with this, and let us see all of that, right?
Yeah. And at least what I've seen is that Jeffrey Epstein didn't traffic and sexually assault immigrant children.
Right. Right.
He liked them white and American, but poor and vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So again, it's avoidance of the issue of the day. In reference to past failings of Joe Biden, I don't remember Joe Biden writing Jeffrey Epstein a note that's like, hey, we're enigmas. We have everything we could possibly want, but we have a secret about what really makes us happy. Boy, pal, here's to every wonderful day with more wonderful secrets. I missed that letter from Joe Biden to a convicted child sex abuser and trafficker. Like, that's the difference. I mean, amongst other things. Listen, we've got one more caller. Want to get Mark from Prairie du Sac in. Mark, say hi to Jim. Folks, if you want to get your last 2 cents, nickel, dime, or quarter in, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Mark, say hi to Jim. What you got for
us? Hey, Mark.
Hey, Jim. Everyone is... these guys, it's on this list. All these guys, they've declared droit de signor, the right of the Lord to have access to any woman they want, and in this case, any girl they want. And I want to know each and every name, and each and every one of those names should be touted out there. And if they're guilty of abusing young girls, hang them out to dry. I don't care if it's the owner of whatever, that hang them all out to dry, for God's sake. It is just, these guys cannot get away with this stuff. These, you know, that... young women have committed suicide over this, and women are still suffering over this, and that They need to be hung out to dry. I don't care how high up it goes, who's involved in this. Every single name needs to go out there, and the people that are protecting these people, if Pam Bondi is protecting these people, she is nothing more than a pedophile protector. Anybody who's protecting these pedophiles is protecting them, and they need to be hung out to dry.
Couldn't agree with you more, Mark.
You're here.
Speaking of hanging out to dry, Justice Brett Kavanaugh has decided to hang out to dry both the Supreme Court's integrity and at least what I thought we all were trying to agree to was a bad thing. That discriminating against people because of their race, especially when accompanied by other pretextual, other sort of what I'm going to call proxies for race, like the language that someone might be speaking or where that person happens to be standing when they're looking for a job, that racial discrimination in this country is bad. And in fact, in the SFFA versus Harvard case from two terms ago, where this Supreme Court said that race can no longer be considered as one of many factors by universities in their admissions process, Chief Justice John Roberts wrote that eliminating racial discrimination means eliminating all of it. But that same Chief Justice, joined by the other five conservatives on this Supreme Court yesterday, said that race is fine to consider amongst other factors when you're going to arrest people. Kavanaugh saying that while, quote, apparent ethnicity alone cannot furnish reasonable suspicion to detain, a court could count it as a, quote, relevant factor when considered along with other salient factors. That's still racial discrimination. According to the Supreme Court's own recent precedent, a decision signed down to by the same five judges who in this decision say racial discrimination plus other things is just fine. Jim, am I missing something here?
Not at all. The inconsistencies, the incongruities, the hypocrisy is just dripping. And so what you've got is Brett Kavanaugh saying, yes, race alone may not provide reasonable suspicion. Your accent, your Spanish language you're speaking, where you are, if you're a day laborer, if an agricultural site, all those kind of your clothes has individually, none of those supports reasonable suspicion. Well, let's put them all together. You put all of these zeros together and you come up with a 100, and then you can justify going out and detaining, arresting people. I think it's stunning. In addition to language you just read, he also says this: about 10% of the people in LA are illegal in the United States, meaning 2 million illegal immigrants out of a total population of 20. What he's saying is, okay, if you go out and you grab 100 people, chances are you got 10 of them who have engaged. That is not America. That's not how law enforcement works. And you and I and others have taught this to law enforcement folks for years. It is a reasonable suspicion based upon a reasonable belief that this person is engaging in something that's unlawful. Not
according,
by putting together.
I mean,
that's right.
Here's the deal, Jim. According to Brett Kavanaugh, what I see in yesterday's ruling is that Korematsu is a good Supreme Court precedent.
Right.
Because he makes this
right.
statistical argument that, like, well, 10% of Californians are not here legally. And so what? You just round up everybody that's in California that has brown skin, speaks Spanish, or speaks with an accent, that doesn't go to work in a fancy car and a suit? That's Korematsu. That was the internment
right,
of Japanese
is.
Americans during
right.
World War II, an abomination
right.
in our nation's history.
I don't know how to read it any other way.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Korematsu, as we both know well, as your listeners, John Roberts has been bending over backwards for years, dropping footnotes about how Korematsu is no longer good law. And so if it's no longer good law, John, how can you join in this kind of an order? It is just so stunningly
bad for
America.
Again, Korematsu is alive and well as good precedent in these United States, according to the Supreme Court yesterday. Unbelievable. The phone lines are open. We're going to go to the phones as soon as we take care of a little bit of business. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, joined by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and me, Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. The discussion continues on the other side right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah.
as Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
To everyone who craves a fresh meal made just for you, let our team member Jacob share what's special about Culver's.
In Wisconsin, our food comes from the heart, and taking the time to handcraft your meal is how we've always done it at Culver's. Like our limited-time Pepper Grinder Pub Burger. It's a savory fan favorite we couldn't wait to bring back.
Come to Culver's and let us serve you a Butter Burger made special just for you.
From Wisconsin with love,
welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Never-Clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower, interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. National Voter Registration Day is coming up on September 16th, with nationwide events to encourage eligible voters to register and check their registration. With no national election as incentive this year, organizers point to local and special elections and a readiness to vote in the 2026 midterms as reasons to consider registering or reviewing registration status. The U.S. Census estimates 174 million Americans were registered to vote in 2024 out of an eligible voting age population of 236 million citizens. Pew Research found 18% of non-voters cited not being registered as a major reason for not voting. For those who are registered, changes in election law, such as more frequent purges of inactive voter registrations and lack of citizenship documents on file, could potentially make millions of Americans ineligible prior to the 2026 midterms. Many states offer online tools to check registration status. National Voter Registration Day's organizers said in a statement that over 1,700 community partners and 3,500 local organizations will participate this year, including municipalities, schools, and support agencies. More information for interested community partners is available at nationalvoterregistrationday.org. We have links to the site and our past series on why more Americans don't vote at americandemocracyminute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Joined this first hour by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. Always happy to have Jim along with me to try to make sense of the week's legal news, as there is so gosh darn much of it.
It's a lot.
And don't forget, folks, we have Stacey Abrams. Oh, my goodness. The indomitable, I called her. The irrepressible, the unsinkable Stacey Abrams joining us at 5:30. You're not going to want to go anywhere. I have been so excited to talk with Leader Abrams. As soon as I knew she was coming to Madison for Idea Fest, she is speaking before that group tonight. So cool. So don't go anywhere. Of course, at the top of the hour, we're going to have a special guest from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to be talking about the race to the bottom in gerrymandering. Today, the House of Representatives in Missouri adopting the mid-decade gerrymandered map that Trump wants so he can basically cheat his way to keep control of the House. Yeah, So that's happening. What do we do about it? What's the off-ramp? Well, we're going to be talking with Greta Bedakovic at 5 o'clock about just that, and then Stacey Abrams. Let's finish out this hour strong, folks. Get your calls and texts in 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We got Matt from Dane County. Matt, say hello to Jim. What's your thought or question this afternoon?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Jim. Hey, Maggie. I only heard a few minutes of the show, so I apologize, but I did hear a particular troll that I've heard a long time ago on many different shows calling in trying to justify the things that Republicans do. So I have a question. Does GOP stand for gross old pedophile, or does it stand for giving out pardons, or both?
It seems these days, Matt, you could always call in with that one. You got a zinger for us. Gross old pedophiles giving out pardons to police, cop beaters, and the like seems to be the rule of the day, which is why it makes Donald Trump's alleged claimed PR campaign that he cares about safety in blue cities completely and utterly obviously nonsense. Of course he doesn't. This has never been about crime. It's only about crime because it gets people really agitated. It's only about crime because you can very carefully cherry pick individual cases that are horrifying, that everyone agrees. If someone who's here illegally killed this person or beat someone or did this terrible crime, of course they should be deported. Nobody's debating that.
And they are deported. They have been deported, right?
That's right.
But our system works as to those people.
It distracts us from the fact that the Supreme Court and Donald Trump are saying we can basically round up anybody we want. If they're the wrong color, speak the wrong language, or English with the wrong accent, and if they have the wrong kind of job. This kind of racial profiling has happened before in history, folks, and it wasn't in robust democracies. I'll just say that much, Jim.
Sonia Sotomayor says exactly that. She says, we should not have to live in a country where the government can seize anyone who looks Latino, speaks Spanish, and appears to work a low-wage job. She's joined, of course, by Ketanji Brown-Jackson, Lena Kagan. She says, rather than stand idly by while our constitutional freedoms are lost, I dissent. And once again, you and I recognize she doesn't say I respectfully dissent, which is usually what the language is. I dissent. She is letting people know that she is angry about what has happened in America.
And here was the other thing. What is interesting about the ridiculously hypocritical, well, we can use race to lock people up and deport them, but again, not in college admissions. That would be terrible. Opinion from Kavanaugh yesterday is that he doesn't say how someone can prove their citizenship status. He doesn't say how someone could rebut the reasonable suspicion based on their race, their accent, and where they happen to be standing and the type of clothing they have on. He doesn't explain any of that. And that means that Latinos, not just in California, but I would argue all across this country, basically now have to bring their papers with them. Mm-hmm. Do you remember this in history when you had to bring your papers with you when you went places? Here's what she wrote. The government, and now the concurrence, has all but declared that all Latinos, U.S. citizens or not, who work low-wage jobs are fair game to be seized at any time, taken away from work, and held until they provide proof of their legal status to the agent's satisfaction. If you remember, deportation, quote-unquote, administrative warrants can be signed by any immigration officer, any FBI, frankly, anyone that works in federal law enforcement almost anywhere on any basis that they think is enough. And now, since it's your color of your skin, your accent, and where you might be standing and what kind of clothes you have on that makes you seizable, what if you don't have your papers and you're a citizen? Well, we'll just lock you up anyways.
Right.
And what if you don't have your papers and you're a citizen and we lock you up and then we fire up the plane and they ignore the judge's orders to not let the plane take off and we just send you to, I don't know, South Sudan or Sikat. Yes. And just by the way, I'm going to get to this in just a few minutes. One of the bits of breaking news today is that the agreement between El Salvador and the United States for holding people in this concentration camp in El Salvador was finally made public. And what is absolutely an abomination is that in nowhere in that agreement does the United States try to ensure that people would be treated under the same standards of confinement that would apply in U.S. territories. And its omission indicates the intention was never to actually hold people in even the most baseline humane conditions, but instead to subject them to what I will call torture in El Salvador. Folks, we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks so much to Jim Santel. Stay tuned. We discuss, is it a race to the bottom in the gerrymandering?
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel launched strikes against Hamas leaders today, but the White House says it only learned of the strikes on ally Qatar from the U.S. military, Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt.
The president views Qatar as a strong ally and friend of the United States and feels very badly about the location of this attack.
Qatar has been a mediator in the Gaza ceasefire talks, analyst Stephen Zunis.
This may mean that Hamas will just totally give up on negotiating a ceasefire, but that indeed may have been the Israeli motivation in the first place.
The administration today released a Make America Healthy Again report.
A lot of these 128 recommendations are things that I've been dreaming about my whole life.
Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy oversaw the report, among other things.